Coming up on podcast 1151, Elon Musk promises, again, to open up superchargers for all. Stick around, I've got the details. Also on the podcast today, we are talking about the Model Y right-hand drive and where it could be sold, Lucid Motors plans to launch in Europe, and why Rivian are targeting Tennessee for their state park chargers. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Thursday, 22nd of July, and my name is Marcin Lee. And it's my job to go through every EV story and pick out just the highlights so you don't have to. This is only what you need to know. Saving your time, hopefully every day. We'll start with news about the new Kia EV6 arriving in the UK very soon and now confirming the official range figure. EV6 electric crossover is going to do 328. That's a great number, by the way. 328 miles of range from a full charge. Kia's EV6 prices start from £40,895. So nowhere near the threshold to get the government grant money, which is 35 grand these days. So £40,895 puts it squarely in Model 3 territory. And I can't say Model Y because we can't buy Model Y. So what would you go for? Your standard range plus Model 3 or 328 miles in a Kia EV6? Well, first delivery is expected to arrive in October and the range will consist of 3 trim levels and 2 drivetrains. Now, of course, you can spec this up way into the mid-50s if you want to. Every UK model, though, and I would imagine Europe as well, I'm just guessing, comes with the long-range battery, 77.4 kilowatt hours. Not the biggest, not the smallest, sensible size for that kind of car. You'll note that the Hyundai Ioniq 5 comes with 2 battery sizes. They call it, I think, drivetrains. They might even call it engines on the configurator for Hyundai. But the Kia, one choice of battery, no 58 kilowatt hour entry level unit, says Auto Express today. The new platform is the eGIMP, eGMP, and it features 800 volt electrical architecture. Not the be-all and end-all, by the way. Nothing to say that if you don't have that, it's a bad EV. But 800 volts does certain things. You can reduce the size of cabling. It can enable quicker charging in certain cases. And it does in this platform. You go from 10% to 80% charge in 18 minutes. Now, I've never timed it, but we were talking about stop times last week on our question of the week with emobilitynorway.com, and we were talking about how long you stop for, and I don't think anybody said under 15 minutes. And so, you know, if you pull up, charger, initiate the charge, right, get my stuff together, get into the service, you know, use the break room, use the maybe get a coffee, maybe even a snack, and look, 18 minutes flies by, and then you're back on the road at 80%. Maximum DC charging is 239 kilowatts. Oh, wowzers. As a world first, also having the capability of plugging into 400 volt chargers, because you don't know. You don't know what is a 400 volt charger and an 800 volt charger. And so with a car like the Taycan, for instance, with Porsche, you have to go into the options list and make sure you specify an extra addition, which means that if you plug into a 400 volt charger, it won't just be sat at 50 kilowatts, because that'd be a bit gutting if you bought a Taycan and forgot to tick that. It shouldn't even be an option, but anyway. Whereas this platform, it's the Hyundai's, Kia's, Genesis cars, can use either 400 or 800 volt chargers, because let's face it, I don't know what they are. I talk about this every day. I can be pretty sure that a 350 kilowatt high powered charger is probably the higher voltage, but what, 175 kilowatt chargers could be either, right? So I don't have to think about that. And you know what, and a normal driver motorist shouldn't be thinking about it either. So that's a clever piece of tech. I've not seen them talk about the regen. I've watched all those videos that are online, the walkarounds. Fully Charged did one, and others did as well, but I didn't see them talking much about regen. So there's 6 regen settings. There's 3 there's off. I suppose there's the off mode. You can just freewheel. Then there's 3 settings, much like if you've driven a recent Kia e-Niro, Hyundai Kona. You've got level 1, 2, 3. And then, of course, you've got the paddles on the back of the steering wheel, the I-pedal, And so that will bring the car to a stop without touching the brakes. And one pedal driving, which I use all the time in the Kona, and I love it. And when I get back in the Zoe, my left hand instinctively goes to reach for the paddle if I'm pulling up to a junction. Oh no, because the Zoe doesn't really do regen either until you put your foot on the brake. It's one of those blended brakes in the Zoe. So it's like, oh no, hang on a minute. No, I'm going a bit fast now. Slam on the brakes. Auto setting as well in the Kia EV6 will, it's called auto, I think, I'm imagining it will look at your either the route plan, the sat nav, or maybe a look at the smart cruise control and adjust the regen according to your driving conditions, style. A lot of EVs can, some EVs can do that. Wheelbase is a little bit shorter than the Hyundai Ioniq 5. 2.9 meters, so just a smidge shorter. But again, on the EV6, wheels pushed to the four corners on the extremes. 520 liters of boot space and 52 liters in the frunk. And it tows. So as long as you've got more than a third of the battery, you can pull 1,600 kilograms of towing. That's a fair trailer. Yeah, small caravan. So great news. Anyway, Kia EV6. Can't wait to start talking about it a little bit more. Looks like a really compelling car. And yeah, I would have cover off the range 328. Of course, that I should say 328 miles is for the rear wheel drive version, and there is an all-wheel drive version. They haven't done the official range on that yet, but they're hoping, Kia are hoping, they said, to keep it above 300. It's a bit of a psychological milestone, isn't it? Brilliant. Right, next, we'll talk about a new car from Mercedes-Benz, Daimler, unveiling the details of their new S-Class. The S-Class is a plug-in hybrid, and the EV-only range is 100 kilometres. That's 62 miles, and I think that's really good. And as the auto analyst Matthias Schmidt points out on Twitter, that at least leads to lower business rate taxes, at least here in the UK, benefit in kind, which is 7% of the purchase price a year, rather than 37% if it didn't have the plug-in hybrid bits. CO2 average will be down. Curb weight of that car, 2.4 tonnes. It is what he calls a CO2 compliance golden ticket. Nice low tax on it because it can do 62 miles of range. Listen, here's the thing with this car. If you keep that car charged, you can do, I think, nearly all your journeys on electric power. New Merc S-Class, 100 kilometres of range. When are you going to need more, really, day to day, unless you're on a long trip? But the only downside of these cars is for the people who don't charge them overnight at home or have no interest in charging them. They just like the idea of a plug-in hybrid. If the battery sits at empty all the time, you've got a 2.4-ton petrol car. And that is in no way good. So if you buy one of these, make sure you charge it. Please, please, please. Next, Tesla headline story. Plan to open their supercharging network to other EVs later this year. Following up a story that we heard from Norway earlier this year, which was a one-off charging site where the region of Norway would provide incentives to build charging stations only to those companies that allow everyone to charge on them. So Tesla exempted. But they opened it up, or they said they would open it up to open up that funding. But this is going much wider. Elon Musk saying that their network of 25,000 supercharging stations will be opened up to other car makers that want to form an alliance with Tesla and startups that want to use these superchargers. Elon, it wasn't a long tweet. We're making our supercharger network open to other EVs later this year, is what he said. Germany's transport minister last month said he had been trying to convince Tesla to open up their network in Germany. President Joe Biden, the administration is embracing a deal agreed in the Senate to spend $1.4 trillion on infrastructure, $7.5 billion on EV infrastructure, so that includes charging stations. So look, what's going on here? Well, this has been talked about for years, literally years, literally 6 years. In 2014, Elon Musk said that he would be willing to open up the design of superchargers to build a standard that can be used interchangeably across the industry. Add 6 years on, and that never happened. Over the years, he's talked often about opening it up to help out other car makers and saying, well, we'd love to anyone to use the superchargers, but nobody can come up to our standards of software, our levels of expertise. So others have tried, they've all failed. So, you know, we can't let any old Tom, Dick and Harry use our chargers. They've got to, you know, get their software right, and no one can write good software. So we couldn't let them do it. So after 6 years of promises, Do you think it's going to happen this year? Well, I'll leave that one up to you. I'd like to know from you what you think about this idea. There's all sorts of issues to do with billing, charging, how the car recognizes that it's you. That, of course, in the US, there's a proprietary connector, so you need an adapter. Here in Europe, we use CCS combo plugs, so that's a no-brainer. It'll probably start in Europe, probably in Norway as well. And when will it open up? We just don't know. Which automakers have reached agreements with Tesla? What work have they got to do? And what work has Tesla got to do to bring them onto the network? What revenue could it bring in for Tesla? And also, if you're a Tesla owner, you've bought the car, you've paid a premium, and how do you feel about pulling up and all of a sudden it's absolutely chock-a-block with VWs and everything else? Plug-in hybrids. You're like, oh, come on. I just want to charge my Tesla quickly and get on. And you guys are cute because everyone else is on it. How do you feel about that? I think it's the right thing for the EV industry. I think it would really annoy some Tesla owners. And I don't think it's going to happen in a million years. If I'm honest with you, I'd love it to be true. But after 6 years of promising, it happens when it happens. And it could be tomorrow and it could be never. We just have to wait and see. It got great publicity, I would say. Everyone's talking about Tesla all of a sudden, so that did the job. What do you think, though? How much would you pay? And how are they going to do it? Certainly over here in the UK, we have, I don't know if it's legislation or whether it's just strong guidance. I'll look it up for the exact. But I know that new public charging stations that aren't on a closed network, in other words, if Tesla want to open it up to everyone but them, then you need to have a screen. And the screen needs to show the state of charge, either the charge speed or a certain amount of information. And there's also some rules about contactless payments and billing. So I don't see Tesla adding a contactless reader to every one of their superchargers. I don't see them adding a screen to every one of their superchargers. So maybe it won't come to the UK because them's the rules here. Hey, wait and see, as always in these cases. Final quickie on Tesla is the Model Y right-hand drive. They've commenced the right-hand drive production of Model Y, as I previously reported on this podcast. They're going to Hong Kong. Model Y is made in the US and China, but the right-hand drive version's only made in China for now. According to whichcar.com.au, with the heavily related Model 3 now manufactured in China for the Australian market, it's likely that versions of the Model Y, destined for Aussie, will also come from China. No confirmation on that, but yeah, I think that's a no-brainer, don't you? Oh, and very quickly as well, I know that I don't know how many of people, you know, that listen to this show will be affected by this, but after coming in for a lot of criticism from owners and fans, Tesla has now reduced the price of the update required for full self-driving if you subscribe. So if you didn't have Hardware 3 in your car, if your car was built from 2016 to 2019, and you want to subscribe to full self-driving, there was obviously a $1,500 extra fee to pay to take it in and for them to put a new computer in. That went down like a lead balloon. They've now reduced that to $1,000. People online I've seen on the forums still pointing out, yes, but they famously said since 2016, all cars are built with enough hardware to do full self-driving. Why are you now stinging me for another $1,000? Doesn't affect me, don't own one. But what do you think of any of those stories? Let me know. Hello@evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Right, coming up, we'll talk about Lucid Motors coming to Europe and why Riviera rolling out their charges to state parks in the US. Stick around. Now, though, we're going to talk about Stellantis. That is the company from Fiat Chrysler and Group PSA. Merging earlier this year, they've given themselves five years to absorb a 40% EV cost hike. They think making EVs at the minute costs 40% more than their cheapest combustion cars. The makers of the likes of Jeep and Ram have given themselves 5 years to absorb the 40% increase in costs that EVs represent before Stellantis restructures and could cut jobs if they need to save money. The CEO, Carlos Tavares, said yesterday, requires billions of dollars in capital investment and new talent. Stellantis said earlier this month it'll spend $35.5 billion by 2025 alone in the next 4 years, according to DetroitNews.com, who say that Tavares didn't provide a figure for where the automaker stands on achieving their $6 billion worth of annual cost savings that they projected when they merged. However, he did say the company is ahead of its plans and expected cost savings increasing. In China, they've signed a deal with an unnamed partner to make EVs. Stellantis also validating an investment for solid-state batteries. They say that they'll be ready for their cars in 2026. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you would like to read more. Lucid Motors are next in the news today. Planning on beginning... Hoo-ha! That is easy for me to say. Planning on beginning German deliveries. Israel, edit that bit out. Nobody will know. German deliveries in 2022. The new country manager, Roberto Russo. It might not be pronounced like that, but it would be good if it did. Roberto Russo, maybe. Confirming to the industry website, Electrive in 2022, the Air sedan will arrive in other European countries as well. He announced on LinkedIn that he would become the country manager for Germany. And Russo, an e-mobility specialist, didn't confirm exactly which versions of the Air will come to Europe. In 2012, he was working for Tesla as a sales manager for the European launch of the Tesla Model S, so he has form next. 41% of consumers say their next car is going to be electric. Well, look, I always doubt it when these surveys come out and they have wildly low numbers. I kind of doubt this one. It seems too high, but here's the story. According to a new survey conducted by EY, 41% of consumers planning to buy a new car in the next year say it will be a plug-in vehicle, either hybrid or full electric. They're making their decision based on the environmental impact is the reason they gave. They surveyed 9,000 consumers in 13 countries, says Ars Technica. The last time the firm conducted the interview, which was a year ago, 30% said their next car would be a plug-in. So from 30 to 41% in a year, I'll take it. It seems too high. In China, the results were 48% saying they'd buy an EV. In South Korea, 51%. Singapore, 53%. Italy, 63% saying their next car would be a plug-in electric vehicle. Hey, if those numbers are real, I'm going to take them. That means we're heading in the right direction. This is happening, people. Next, Tennessee is adding electric car charging to state parks. Tennessee officials say they're partnering with Rivian to put charging stations into the state parks. In 56 state parks, charging will be free for drivers. Any future costs for the drivers, these are the Rivian chargers that only work with Rivians, will depend on system-wide use to recover the electricity costs. Aston Martin are next in the news. Their DB11 and Vantage will be going all electric. They have flip-flopped for ages. They had the Rapide E. Occasionally, they called it the Rapide with the last E capitalized, and then they changed it to the Rapide hyphen E. Either way, four-door, all-electric, Aston Martin binned it off when the former AMG boss, Tobias Merz, took the reins. Now, he's been talking to Automotive News Europe, and this time, he's changed his tune. He says the next Vantage, DB11 and DBS, all Aston Martin replacements coming by the middle of the decade, they think will be full electric versions, completely bypassing any hybridization. Good man. We love you for that. And that's your news for today. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. So with DC fast chargers being rolled out, why can't I speak today? With DC fast chargers being rolled out, should they automatically stop charging when your car gets to 80%? Should the charger cut off and the car disconnect the cable, or at least unleash it so that somebody else can come in and get a charge if they need to? Look, why should the rare DC fast chargers that we have in a few locations be hogged by someone at 99%, just trickle charging their car for the last percent? Or has anyone got a right to use that charger how they want? Let me know. Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you to our patrons of this show. Patreon is the website we use. They look after the billing, the receipts, the cards, all that kind of stuff. They'll charge you in your local currency. I just get, is it 90 or 95%? It's an amazing, compared to like other things. Like, you can do it on YouTube memberships and stuff, but they take way more of a percentage. So Patreon's brilliant for content creators. And our premium partners, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. You can be one from $5 upwards. And Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.